Hosanna to the King of Kings. Hosanna! Hosanna! Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Praise God. When we see, when we part of the song, it says, when I see you, I find strength. When I see you face to face. Mm-hmm. Amen. But Jesus is here. When we see Jesus, by faith we can see him face to face. And you know what? If you have that faith, you will be strengthened, however weak you are. Yes. You will be strengthened because in him, we find the peace of mind. We find the strength. We find that Jesus can do it all. Nothing is impossible with him. Hallelujah. I am reminded of, if you have a child, especially the young ones, the one who cannot go by himself or by herself. Let's say 3-year-old, that he would not know where to go, especially in a new place. But you know what? When his mom or his dad, especially when mom and dad are together, and they are holding his hands, how peaceful he feels, right? Mm-hmm. Because there's somebody protecting my left and my right. There's somebody that will show me the way. There's somebody that I can trust. There's somebody that is with me. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. And that should be our attitude. That's why in the gospel it says that have faith as of the child. Because a child is very trusting. Mm-hmm. What a parent said, as if there's nothing that can break it. Mm-hmm. Yes. But we know human is not perfect. But we have God. Thank God we have God. And this time we are celebrating. I'm saying we are celebrating and remembering that Jesus was born. Jesus is no longer a baby. Amen. Jesus is able to help us. Jesus is alive. We are just remembering that once the God, the Almighty God, showed his love for us so that he can restore our relationship with him from the very beginning. So Jesus, Emmanuel, God with us. Amen. So God is with us right now, and we will never be alone. We are not alone. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. You know, as few as we are right now, but I believe every one of us here are worshiping, and every one of us is worshiping, and every one of us is seeing God and looking unto Jesus. God is being pleased. And you know, because God is looking for worshipers who will worship him in spirit and in truth. We will go to that later. But I'm so excited because the fact that God is with us, that's the promise. Jesus, God with us. And this December, we started last Sunday the celebration or the remembrance of God's birth. And I believe it will go to God's, the birth of Jesus Christ is not isolated instance. It will go to his life, his teaching, his death, and his resurrection. And now our God is alive. And we are celebrating Jesus, who is alive, amen? Amen. So when our sister Hazel was saying, worship him, praise him, church, praise him. Yes, we have all the reasons to praise God, amen? Yeah. We just have to remind ourselves who we are and who is with us. Jesus, Emmanuel, Jesus. And last Sunday, our pastor reminded us that Jesus is our Redeemer. He was long prophesied, the Redeemer of this world. And I want us to just read that. in Isaiah 9, 6 to 7. Isaiah 9, 6 to 7. I will read in New King James Version, but you can look at it in King James Version on the screen. Isaiah 9, 6 to 7. And it reads, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulders, and his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." What is lacking? He is the Son of God, and all the government will be upon his shoulder. He's taking all the responsibility of the government. The government is not the president of one nation. It's not truly the responsibility of just one person. It is the whole world God is responsible. Jesus is responsible to all the earth. And his name is called Wonderful Counselor. What do you need? Counselor, it is him. Mighty God, Everlasting Father, do you need Father? He is the Everlasting Father. He is the Prince of Peace. He makes us, give us peace between us and God. We can have peace in Jesus. So, and also, even here, if we live with Jesus, we can also have peace in our heart.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And in Isaiah 7:14, it says there, 7:14, "Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and you shall call his name Emmanuel." So these are all truth. These were all prophesied long time ago, and it happened. It happened. It was not fake. It's not a lie. It is the truth. Mm-hmm. Now, so we have to worship in spirit and in truth. Mm-hmm. Because all of this, our Jesus was born. Our Jesus is alive and with us today. So if we also look at Luke 2:6, and here that's the proof that it happened in Luke 2:6, where most of our verses today will come from in the book of, from the book of Luke. But let's read first Luke 2:6. So it was that while they were there, the days were completed for her to be delivered. And she brought forth the firstborn son and wrapped him in a swaddling cloth and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. So he is the King of Kings. He is the Lord of Lords. But when he was born, he was not born in the palace. He was born in a manger. He showed us the way. He showed us the humility. He showed us. From very top dog, he was God. He chose to humble himself and showed us the way to reach out to the people, to us who were sinners, who were helpless.
Yes.
But brethren or church, you are no longer helpless, right? Mm-hmm. We are all helped by God. We are all saved by God and redeemed by God. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Just that fact. It is time of rejoicing. Amen. And that, going back to the birth of Jesus, people who understood, people who were longing for his birth, people who were looking for that birth of Messiah, they rejoiced. All of them rejoiced. But those who were indignant, those who had no belief, those who doubt, they did not rejoice. That's sad because it was their opportunity to see the birth of Jesus, right? And some of them even lied. We'll see that even Herod lied. when the wise men said, we will go, he secretly called them and said, I will worship him also. Just show, when you found him, yeah, tell me. And I want to worship him. Was it true? No. Herod was not a worshiper of God. Herod was not a worshiper of Jesus. He had different reason why he wanted to see Jesus. But those who believe in the birth of Jesus, the Son of God, the one who was sent to be our Redeemer, they rejoiced because now, at last, we don't have to follow all the traditions and the laws that's for the sake of following. We are now having the wisdom of God. We are now having the Spirit of God, the strength of God, to be able to carry on and be saved because of the blood of Jesus.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. I'm so excited, actually, when I was studying this, I said, oh, Lord God, you came to save the lost. It's just sad that so many people are still lost. But God never segregated us. God never rejected others. Everyone is welcome to come, right? It's just that we came. We believed in God. And that's our prayer also, that God, the people will also see Jesus, who is the only Redeemer, who was sent, the only Son who was sent to die and to forgive our sins. Because I realized, God, it's true. If there is no Jesus, there is no forgiveness of sin.
Amen.
Where will we be? We are damned. We are doomed for punishment. Thank Jesus. He came. He forgave my sin. I don't have to name my sin one by one. I believe maybe you will say, oh, I didn't want us to hear her preach. But thank God, it was in the past. Because God changed me. God changed you. That's why we are here. Amen?
Amen.
Praise the Lord. This is the day that the Lord has made for us to be gathering together and worshiping the only true God,
Amen.
The Emmanuel with us. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. So, the prophecy and also actually the promise of the Messiah, the promise of the Savior. And you know what? In all that God does, He always has the purpose. He has purposes in our lives. Even what we are going through, He has purposes in our lives. And when He sent Jesus, He's to forgive our sins. And I would like to, when I remember John 3:16, that says it all. For God so loved the world that He gave. It was mentioned earlier. Said, oh, we are united. I didn't say that, okay, Hazel mentioned this. But it's because it's in the heart.
Amen.
If our life is based on what Jesus did, on how God loved us, for God so loved the world that He gave Jesus, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. People of God, you is no longer destined for punishment. You are no longer lost because you experienced the love of God. Amen. We are here because of the love of God. We are here because of the truth that Jesus was born and He is alive now. Though He died, He rose again and proved that He is the one who can save us, and He is our redemption.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Thank you, God. But we are rejoicing on that fact. We are rejoicing on that truth. I know I am. But I would like us to come back or go back to the situation of that first, if we call it Christmas. And I was researching, oh, there are so many reasons why people are celebrating Christmas, or why it is December 25 or what. It is not important if it's December 25 or not. The most important is this. Jesus was born.
Mm-hmm.
And
Amen.
Jesus
Amen.
Is
Amen.
With me. And Jesus is my Savior.
Amen.
But I would like us to go back and see, I saw and see some realities surrounding the events of the birth of Jesus. The birth of Jesus definitely is a miracle. Amen?
Amen.
He is a miracle child. He is born of the Spirit. My Bible says that. Our Bible says that. He is a miracle. And before that, God chose to have to do another to do a miracle before that. And that was the birth of John. John was also a miracle baby. So during that time, we know that based on the gospel, Elizabeth was carrying a baby where already in 6 months when Jesus started to be in the bosom of Mary. So it's within, say, a year, or between 1 year and 2 years. But I would like us to see this. Surrounding the birth of Jesus, God Himself chose to involve people. He did not just came as a magic, boom, be born. No, He used people. It is His choices. No one else made a choice. No one else volunteered. It is God's choice, because God chose to involve people. God is pleased to do that, to involve men and women. The same thing as what we have now. Having Jesus, He is so pleased to involve us, His children, in His work. He can choose to do it on His own, but God chose to involve us in His kingdom, in saving the lost. Everything is done by God, but we are His feet. We are His mouthpiece. We are His hands, because He loves us.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. So going back there, He did what He did, because it is His way. He is God. And He gave opportunity that the event involving the people, the men and women, it gave opportunity for God to reveal Himself and for the people to trust Him. Who are those people? They are from all walks of life. So we cannot say, oh, God can only use somebody who is intelligent. God can only use somebody who is really rich. Or God can use somebody who is special. But see, look at this. If we go to Luke 1, and I will maybe summarize it. Zacharias, you know, Zacharias was the father of John, and it was prophesied that John would be born before Jesus in preparation for His coming. John was the forerunner. Zacharias was a priest. Elizabeth was his wife, so a wife. And then, of course, John was a miracle baby. Joseph was a carpenter. Mary was a young virgin lady. Maybe she has no experience of what to do. we will say that people would say wisdom comes from experience. That's why the older you are, you said, oh, you gain a lot of experience and have wisdom. And it's also said in the Bible, in the Word of God, that with our gray hair, that's a, you know, comes wisdom. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. The shepherds, the angels, the wise men, and even Herod, and even all the people around there that were never been mentioned by name. The events surrounding Jesus' birth, surrounding the miraculous expression of God's love. Hallelujah. You know, when God met them and when God chose them, all of them have their own, they're all busy in with doing their own thing. What was Zacharias doing? He was doing a priestly duty. That is in Luke 8 and 9. And, you know, as a priest, before you said, okay, the priest, the people will pray, and the people will tell the priest will pray for the people. And one, I believe, one of the prayers of Zacharias was for them to have child. Maybe he noticed that Elizabeth was sad. But it was so interesting that in verse 13 of Luke 1, it says there, verse 13, but the angel said to him, do not be afraid, Zacharias, for your prayer is heard. And your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you shall call his name John.
Thank you, God.
Your prayer is answered. Do not be afraid. Your prayer is answered. So even, this is even when they were already old. So still trying to believe God. And I said trying because we know that Zechariah, because he doubted, he was temporarily became mute. He did not believe. That is in verse 20. But there was a change of heart. In verse 20, or verse 64, what was said there? Verse 64, when John was born, immediately his mouth was open and his tongue loosed, and he spoke praising God.
Amen. Mm-hmm.
Hallelujah. When God touched you, when God revealed himself to you, just like of Zechariah, what would be our response? What was Zechariah's response? He praised God.
Yeah.
Truly, my prayers are answered, and now I am loosed from being mute. My tongue was loosed and be able to praise God.
Mm-hmm.
When you are loosed from bandages, you have the reason to praise God.
Amen.
Meaning you are already free. The same thing as what happened with Zechariah.
Mm-hmm.
And that's Elizabeth. Elizabeth in verse 39, he's from the city of Judah. He was advanced in year, meaning she was old, and she was barren, but she said this, the Lord dealt with me, looked on me, God looked on me to take away. Why did God, in her worship, God looked on me to take away my reproach. Sounds familiar? If you know the story of Rachel, he was also barren. In Genesis 30, 23, the same thing Rachel said. God take away my reproach. So it's a testimony of the mighty work of God.
Amen.
And God still works mighty things among us. And being filled with the Holy Spirit in 41, she said, blessed is she who believed, for there will be a fulfillment of those things which were told her from the Lord. She said that when Mary visited her. She said that, that blessed is she. It could be herself. It could be also Mary, directed to Mary. But what I know, this is the fact. Even now, it is applicable to us. Blessed is he, blessed is she who believe. Do you believe that? If we believe in Jesus, we are blessed. Amen. And so, may Elizabeth also believe and worship God. And then she gave birth to John. And he was the carpenter, Joseph. He believed and obeyed God after that angel spoke to him in a dream. So, see, different ways of speaking to people to carry on God's purpose. He believed. That was in that's in Matthew 1, 24 and 25. Mary herself is called favored by God. And she received the assurance that is in verse 37. If we will go there in Luke 37. For with God, nothing will be impossible. Seemingly giving birth to Jesus, who was born by the Holy Spirit, seemingly it was impossible. But there was an assurance, and it's the truth. For with God, nothing will be impossible.
Amen.
And what was the response of Mary? Then Mary said, "Behold, the maidservant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." Let it be to me according to your word. That means it's an act of or an expression of submission.
Yes.
Lord, I am your maidservant. Because I am your maidservant, do whatever you please. Do whatever you want. I am here at your service. Let it be to me whatever is your purpose according to your word. Let it be to me. What a faith. And you know what? She also worshiped God. In verses 47 to 55. We call it the Song of Mary. It's a song that shows worship to God. And if we go to Luke 2, 8 to 12, there were also shepherds. The angels of the Lord spoke or announced to them the birth of Jesus. And they worship him. That is in 2:20. Luke 2:20. They worship him. Then the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen. When they saw Jesus, it was first told to them. They heard, but they also saw. And they glorify God.
Thank you, Jesus.
They glorify God.
Thank you, Jesus.
Even the angels, the heavenly host, worship. If we will go back to us, Luke 2, 13 and 14. I'm so amazed. 2, 13 and 14. And suddenly there was the angel who announced to the shepherds, suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, good with goodwill toward men." Glory to God in the highest, and peace, goodwill toward men. We worship God, we glorify God, and also that results to goodwill to men. Goodwill to men. God, it is God's purpose that he be worshipped, he be given the highest worship, and also that it will be seen by men, that men will also be benefited for what God has done. Amen?
Amen.
So this is very true. And even the wise men from the east, I mentioned earlier, and in Matthew 2:11, I want us to go there. The star appeared to them, and they worship. So these people who watched, who saw or experienced, who were the witnesses of the birth of Jesus, because they believed the message, whether it is through dream, whether it's through angel, whether it is through word of mouth, they believed. And that made the difference. Church, if we believe, our lives will be changed. We will never be the same again. God can work mightily in the midst of us. That's what happened. And when they believed, because they believed the truth, they believed the Spirit. The Holy Spirit was working with them. And what did they do? They worshiped Him. They worshiped the God. They worshiped the God, the only God. And who is He? Jesus. When Jesus was born, He deserved to be worshiped. Mm-hmm. And Jesus is alive. He deserved to be worshiped. Jesus is with us now in spirit. Jesus is sitting at the right hand of God. But He is with us now, and the Holy Spirit is with us now. What do we have to do? We have to worship.
Amen.
So when we come together, whether we are few or we are many, but I would tell you this, we are not really few. Do you know how many are we now? Maybe. But we cannot really number us, because there are angels worshiping with us. Because angels also worship God. And not only that, if we are in the West, there are churches who are worshiping. We are part of the universal church who are worshiping God. So let's make sure that even here at Christ Chapel, we are truly worshipers of God. Because God is looking for worshipers, those who worship Him in spirit and in truth. Sunday. We don't come for convenience. We don't come because someone is there. We come because Jesus is here. We come because God is here. And we are so excited to give glory to God and to worship Him, because He is pleased to listen, to receive the worship of those who believed in Him.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The question is our worship acceptable? Is our worship acceptable to God? Not all form of worship is acceptable to God. I saw an example. If you remember the story of Abel and Cain, two brothers, they offered God because it's required to offer God. But Abel's offering was accepted, but Cain's was not. Why? That's unfair. If you look at from the distance, oh, that's unfair. They gave. But you see, there is also a theory that, oh, because Abel's offering has a blood, and Cain's offering, no blood. But remember, God Himself also asked to offer grain offering. So I believe, yes, it's a good thing to offer something like that a picture of what God will be doing that time through Jesus Christ. But you know what? God is more concerned about the heart. Whatever you offer, whether just like the widow, even if it's 1 mite, even if it's $5, even if it's thousands of dollars, if you offer it with the whole heart, God sees our heart.
Amen.
And that's the kind of worship that God accepts. The kind of worship that comes from the heart, not from the self, not to be feeling good. Not a self-centered action, and not even from the heart that is unfaithful to God, meaning someone that's having other God than God. Someone who has other things more important than God. That is a kind of worship that God doesn't, is not pleased, I believe, because there was a hindrance. God is pleased when we submit our heart, our life to Him, that we repent of our sins, our known sins. That's why it's always good to pray that, Lord, search my heart. Because only you, O Holy Spirit, can search my heart and reveal it to me so that I can ask forgiveness. But there are sins that really obvious. If we cannot repent on the if we cannot repent from the known sin, how can we repent on the unknown sin or the sins that are secret? Mm-hmm. Whether secret or known, whether it is big or small, we have to come to God in humility, because God says, I am faithful and just to forgive you and to cleanse you. And so we have the confidence that God will accept our worship. Amen? Amen. Faith and worship cannot be separated. Church, we worship God because of our faith. Sacrifice of praise is offered in faith. We serve. The good service, the accepted service to God is done by faith. Not because I am good, not because I am worthy to serve God. Yes, it is through the blood of Jesus that I can serve God willingly, serve God with confidence, because God, Jesus is my mediator. Jesus cleansed my heart. Jesus is with me and now empowering me through the Holy Spirit to serve Him, to make Him the Lord of my life, to make him the first of my life in my life. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Let us worship God in spirit and in truth. He loves to see people who are worshiping Him in spirit and in truth. It's a challenge for us that we live our lives, everyday lives, worshiping Him with zealousness. Not only zealousness because of many crowds, not only zealousness because of the type of songs, but it is zealousness that is coming from within, because we know the truth and we love Him because He first loved us. Hallelujah. God wants us to increase our worship, to grow us in worship to God and give Him all the glory, all the honor, all the best that we can, whatever was given to us. Our song said, for all came from you, and all to you. Meaning, what can we give that was not given to us? Everything was given to us. So give it back to God. Give it, offer it to God. And you know, the promise of God, He will multiply it. And He is pleased. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Whatever we do, whatever we say, wherever we are, wherever we go, let's make sure that our heart is in tune with God and we are in the attitude of prayer, worship, and thanksgiving to God, who alone is worthy to be praised. Mm-hmm. Hallelujah. God bless us all, church.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So let's offer our lives. This celebration of Christmas, let's offer not only what we have, but also our life to Him. Let's make it our Christmas offering.